Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Alabama, Adriana, how's it going down there? She's got a line of people down there. You got to introduce yourself and tell us what you're eating.
My name's Bryce Wells. I'm a producer on the Lars Larson Show, and I got a fat pepperoni slice right here.
I love it. Enjoy.
Thank you.
All you can eat down there. Who else is down there?
Hey, John, it's Matthew.
Hey, man.
I had a couple pieces. Very good. Very thankful.
That was fast.
Well, I'm hungry, so I stuffed my face and I got out.
Let's talk to the brains of the operation, owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that's right. Two shares.
Yes. How are you, man?
Not bad. How you doing?
How's the pizza?
It's pretty good, actually.
It's the right price, huh?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I love that. Adriana said it was too good to put out on the red counter.
Some of the people tried to walk away without giving a review, so I had to call them back
because
this
right.
is not the red counter.
Yeah, there's no free lunch here. There is an exchange going on. I thank you to 7-Eleven for dropping off those pizzas. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News. He always delivers, and he joins us now. How are you, man?
I'm hungrier than I was 2 minutes ago.
I know. You had a great bit of news this morning. Michael Crow, Arizona State. He is the president at ASU. A candidate and a possibility to be leaving the Pac-12. What do you know?
Well, he's on the list for the University of California president, the system president, not UC Berkeley campus, but to be replace Janet Napolitano as the president of the system of 10 public schools. And that would change a little bit of the dynamic in the Pac-12 for sure. He's been a big supporter of Larry Scott. I don't know if he's going to get the job, and we may know as soon as this evening when there's a special committee meeting of the regents whether Crow is basically advancing to the final stage, but it's certainly interesting given the dynamics at the conference level and his support for the structure and the business model.
He was among the presidents that were part of the group that hired Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. Dr. Edward Ray, also part of that group. He's leaving this summer. Gene Block, what's his status at UCLA?
Gene Block, I've been told, is going to step down next June, June of 2021. And he's been around. He was part of that original threesome and has been a supporter, a very quiet supporter of Larry Scott. Michael Crow, of the three, the old guard, so to speak, Crow's been by far the most vocal. He'll go on Phoenix Radio or he'll do interviews with Arizona Republic. And he's been real supportive publicly. Ed Ray, but not quite as much. And Gene Block is, he does not talk publicly at all about Pac-12 athletics, but he does support the commissioner.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, reporting today that Michael Crow is a finalist for that University of California system leader. What was Arizona State's comment or reaction when you called them this morning?
They said that he had not been contacted in any official manner. He's not a candidate. He has not been contacted in any official capacity, which that they're doing what they need to do, right? Nobody these days, nobody is a candidate until you got the job, right? I was trying to think, when did that start? And the only thing I could think of was, remember when Nick Saban was coaching the Dolphins and everybody was asking about Alabama and he kept saying, I'm not going to Alabama, I'm not a candidate. And then he's in Tuscaloosa. So, we'll see how it plays out. But ASU was very particular this morning about the wording when they said he has not been contacted in any official capacity, which kind of tells you there's been some behind the scenes work.
Let's talk about the dynamic in the Pac-12 conference where you have sort of the old guard university presidents and chancellors and the last three of the old guard, Edward Ray at Oregon State, Gene Block at UCLA, Michael Crow at Arizona State. If you're Larry Scott and you're seeing Ed Ray retiring, Jane Block retiring in a year, and now Michael Crow may be out of the system here very quickly. Does that concern you when it comes to your job status?
You know, I think he's got to be thinking about it a little bit, for sure. And I do think that he has got, you know, if we're going to break it off the three old guard and then the other nine, you know, he's got some support, I think, on some of the campuses from the other nine. Now, exactly how much, I don't know. But I don't think that the conference CEO group is split, you know, nine against three in favor. I think that there's a little bit more nuance to it. And, you know, the way executives, and they're, you know, they're running $2 billion campuses, you know, that athletics has got a certain level of priority that's different for each of those presidents and chancellors.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. There's some rumblings at USC about the Trojans possibly breaking away from the conference. How serious is that? Are they just posturing?
You know, I don't think it's, you know, that USC is going to be leaving the conference anytime soon, right? I mean, we'll see what happens as we get closer to 2024. It was an interesting comment from their athletic director that everything is on the table. And if you're USC, sure, everything should be on the table. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're looking to go do what Notre Dame is, be what Notre Dame is, or do what BYU did. You know, the two things that, when it comes to being independent, the two things a lot of fans forget are you got to have a place for your Olympic sports, right? I mean, golf has got to have somebody to play. They got to be in a conference. Softball's got to be in a conference. The other thing is football scheduling's hard. BYU's got a hard time because once you get out of September, all the Power 5 teams are booked up with conference games. So I think USC is being smart, but I also think that I would be really surprised if 5 years from now they're not in the Pac-12.
John Wilner with us. There are things you can control inside a conference and things you can't control. What are the things that the Pac-12 can control in the short term?
Well, certainly they could control the media rights situation, right? I mean, they could take a deal to get some cash infusion. I mean, it may not be a very good deal because they wouldn't have much leverage, but you know, if they're desperate enough, they'll do whatever it takes. Kind of like what Michigan State did with Mel Tucker by offering $5.5 million a year for a coach who won five games. So they could, you know, they could lower their bar and take a deal right now for the Pac-12 networks if they wanted to. What else can they control? You know, they can control their policy in terms of what is proactive for student athletes and what is would benefit the conference in terms of recruiting. For instance, this new transfer rule where there is this movement to make transfers eligible right away. You don't have to sit out a year. You know, the Pac-12 has not formulated a position on that. They could be out in front and pounding their chests. We're in favor of this. We're in favor of athletes' rights to move, freedom of movement. And that might help them with recruiting. But that is something they haven't quite done yet.
John Wilner with us, the San Jose Mercury News. If Crow leaves Arizona State, how quickly does Arizona State act in getting a replacement in there? How important is that hire to Arizona State and to the conference?
You know, it's real important to Arizona State because Crow has really built that university up. I mean, they got 100, if you include their online education program, they got 120,000 students. And that's one reason they have a whole different business model than the other 11 schools. And I think that's one reason that Crow takes a different view of the Pac-12 because he's operating from a totally different place than some of the other chancellors and presidents who have to watch their pennies a little bit more carefully. So for ASU, it would be really big just because of where he's taken them. For the conference, you know, I mean, Arizona State is not one of the lead dogs, let's face it. And, you know, Crow, if not for his support for Larry Scott, Arizona State would be, you know, no different than any other school. But because Scott is some of his decisions have been so scrutinized and because Crow has been so supportive, I think it's elevated Crow's profile.
I saw recently you had some comments from Jennifer Cohen, Jen Cohen, the athletic director at Washington. I think she's super smart. What did you gain from sort of seeing what her position is?
Well, yeah, I mean, she addressed, and this was a, you know, in all fairness, this was an interview she gave to The Athletic, and she was very frank, as most of the athletic directors have been recently, you know, very frank about the fact that there are challenges, that the revenue, that the difference in revenue between the Pac-12 and some of the other conferences does make it hard to compete, and it does, you know, kind of squeeze you when you're trying to recruit and lure recruits that have better options other places. So she was very frank about the revenue situation, and she was also very honest about the recruiting. I mean, the Pac-12 can't keep letting half of the top prospects in every football recruiting cycle go to the SEC or go to Clemson or Ohio State. And in the Pacific Northwest, especially, this is the best. The class of 2021, high school senior class of 2021 in Seattle, is the best it has ever been in Seattle. And whether those kids end up going to Pullman, Seattle, Corvallis, Eugene, wherever, the conference has got to keep those kids at home. And yet here comes Alabama, here comes Clemson, LSU, coming out here, dangling, you know, bigger buildings and better fan affinity and more resources in front of these kids. And the conference is not going to be able to compete nationally if it can't keep these kids at home.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. In the short term, we've got some college basketball going on. The Oregon Ducks women's program, I think, has been a huge shining success for the conference. But on the men's side, it is a muddled mess. What is best for the conference when it comes to the men's race for the conference championship and conference tournament? And it is, you know, is it best to have that kind of parity where everybody's sort of at the top and you get a maximum number of teams in the tournament, or do you need a lead dog in that race?
You know, I think you need a lead dog. I mean, there's certainly something to be said for this parity, and, you know, the parity in the basketball side is not that much different than it was on the football side, right? I mean, the Pac-12 North, Oregon won it, and then there were three teams at 4 and 5 tied for second place, right? I mean, including Oregon State. I don't think that parity has its merits, but it's not ideal. You got to have a lead dog. And the thing about the NCAA tournament is it's great if you get 6 or 7 teams in. But if they're all 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 seeds, then their path to the second weekend, their path to the Final Four is that much more difficult. I think, you know, you want to have 1 or 2 high seeds. You want to have 1 or 2 teams in the top 10. And even ideally, one of those teams is, you know, UCLA, to be honest with you.
John Wilner, I appreciate you. You're the best. Great work on reporting about Michael Crow. It's a big development. I think everyone in the conference has to be looking at that.
Thanks very much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is with the San Jose Mercury News. Football coaches will often tell me, hey, the AD that hired me is no longer here. I'm a little worried about that. Or the president is no longer there. I've had coaches multiple times who have seen turnover comment to me offhand that, hey, nobody who hired me works here anymore. And it's an unsettling feeling for a football coach, because when times get tough, you want people who know who you are, who believed in you and hired you and brought you in your corner. Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, has lost 9 of the 12 original presidents that hired him. Edward Ray will become the 10th this summer. Michael Crow, up for this job in the University of California system. That doesn't mean UC Berkeley. It means he'd be involved with the trustees at all the UC system schools. He'd be removing himself from the Pac-12 world. That would be number 11. Gene Block is going next summer. That's 12. Now, I'm not saying all 12 presidents would be like a 12-0 vote, get out the door. But if you're Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, who is very unpopular right now because of the condition and the state that the conference is in, if you're looking around right now and you're watching Michael Crow possibly 1 foot out the door at Arizona State, Ed Ray going, gone, Gene Block going, gone, you have to be a little concerned about, hey, who knows me anymore? Who are the people that hired me? I do think the Pac-12, like, my hunch is the Pac-12 CEO group, the presidents of the chancellors at the universities, They pay attention. They know what's going on. They know there were misfires. And they know that they've fallen behind the Big 12 and, the Big 10 and the SEC by light years. They know that. It's not a high priority item for them when they're talking about their $2 billion budgets on their campus, but it's a big item. It's kind of like you and I looking at our cable television bill and going, that's way out of whack. We're paying $250 a month for that. What are we really using? Should we be cutting the cord? They have to be having those kinds of discussions on the Pac-12 level because we're talking about the front porch of your university now. And if I'm Larry Scott, it's the first thing I thought of when I saw this story. I went, ooh, he's got to be soiling himself right now. If Michael Crow leaves the conference, who's banging the drum for Larry Scott anymore? And if nobody's banging the drum for him, what's to keep 8, 9 presidents in the university system here in the CEO group system from going, it's time for a change. Let's get, you're the right guy, but let's get something changed. Let's make a difference. Let's get a leader in there. Let's get somebody forward thinking. Let's find our Greg Sankey. That should be the mission. Our big splash is coming up. Neil Lomax in the 1 o'clock hour will be dynamite. Early this morning, phones started blowing up. Friend of mine, Bob, who listens to the Dan Patrick Show in the mornings, sent me a text, and I got another text from Mike with the I'm With Mike campaign. Shout out to Mike O'Neill. Sent me a text, said, hey, they're talking about you. They're talking about you. And I was like, who's talking about me? Tell them to keep my name out of their mouth. Who says that? Apparently on the Dan Patrick Show, my bet with the Dan Patrick Show came up this morning. And by the way, I think there should be like a statute of limitations on paying off a bet. We made a bet last April. I told these guys that they could collect on the bet. Here we are, pushing into March almost. It's like a year later. There should have been an expiration date on me paying off this bet. It wasn't like an unlimited time. And the bet was the Blazers beat the Thunder in the Western Conference playoffs. And I wrote a column saying, hey, don't have it out of the realm of possibility that Portland could push the Warriors a little bit. Now, it turned out the Blazers fell flat on their faces. But I'm a man of my word because Dan Patrick brought me on the show and I made the bet with the Dan Patrick Show crew that Damian Lillard and the Blazers could make it interesting. I can't remember the exact particulars, but they had to win games. I think it was they had to push it to 6 games or something like that. And they didn't do it. And then I said, let me know where you guys are going to go. And the deal was their crew gets dinner or our crew gets dinner. It was crew against crew. Now, I think we should require them to come to Portland to pay off this debt. We should make them come to Portland. We should make them do a broadcast here from Portland. We should make them see our city, eat in restaurants in our city. But apparently it came up this morning because they were talking about betting some other media member.
This is the first time we've ever done this with a reporter.
Actual bets?
I think.
No, we did a bet, but it was a food bet. I think John Canzaro from Oregon.
Oh, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, longtime Oregon Canzano, sports writer, yeah. Canzano. He still owes us a dinner. We have an open tab on Canzano.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, John Canzano works for the Oregonian, a longtime radio TV host, newspaper host. I actually got an email from him from last year. He offered to buy us barbecue at a local place for the crew. So he honored his bet. We just haven't taken
it. We just have to go out to Portland.
No, he said he'll pay for it here.
Oh, what are you waiting for? Let's go to New York.
Well, I was using an excuse to get back to Portland.
Oh, I'm all in favor of doing
that. Long overdue.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Let's put up a big tab on you.
Yes. I think Portland's waiting for us there.
Portland, are you waiting for the Dan Patrick Show? That's the question. And by the way, I like that Dan Patrick knew my name, but Fritzy didn't. I think it was Fritzy who didn't know. Fritzy's in charge of booking the guests
Fritzy's the one who calls me. Fritzy's been on the show. So has Pauly been on this show. So here's the question I have, and I want you to tweet at me, at John Canzano, BFT. And you can include the Dan Patrick Show, the at DP Show, on your tweet if you'd like. But, A, do we make them come to the state of Oregon? I think that's a foregone conclusion. I think in order, because so much time has passed, they should have to come here to collect on this bet. B, where do we take them? What restaurant would you eat at? Because they mentioned barbecue, and Revan's Barbecue comes to mind. I also brought up Swank when I was on their show. I like Morton's, too. Morton's is great no matter where you go. Phenomenal. Special occasion place. Morton's, great. I was at Morton's the other night. Amazing. So where do we take them? Or is there some quintessential Portland restaurant that you've been to? Or do we take them to make them go down to Eugene? Eat at a restaurant down there? I don't know. Tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Tell me, A, do we make them come to Oregon?
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.